It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
A busy week ahead on taxes, we check on the market response. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. We now have both the House and Senate versions of the Republican plans to overhaul the tax code. There are still some big differences to work through, and the markets are eyeing the bumpy road ahead. For more on this, I'm joined by Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Good morning.
Good morning.
So now we know what's in both versions of the tax bills, and how are markets reacting?
Well, you know, it's not quite the fundamental tax reform that markets had been geared up for earlier in the year. So even in the event that we do get a reconciliation and a tax cut, it's not quite as transformative. And so there's a little bit of disappointment and a little bit of that sentiment coming out of the market.
We've also had some wobbly earnings. You look at one bellwether, the junk bond market. What is it and what does it tell us?
So the junk bond market are the bonds of the riskiest companies. And so when investors start getting a little bit more risk averse, a little bit more worried about the outlook, they start demanding more to be paid more to take that risk. And we see the spread between junk bond yields and the blue chip companies widening. And we've been seeing that over the last 2 weeks. That's sometimes the bellwether of a broader repricing of risk.
And what else should we be looking out for in the markets this week?
We have the consumer price index and retail sales on Wednesday. Consumers are doing fine. We're probably going to get some bounce back from the hurricane disruption. But inflation is stuck pretty low, and that's probably what the CPI will continue to tell us.
Julia Coronado is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And staying on the theme of tax policy, the Trump administration is focusing on international taxes, particularly tariffs on imported goods. President Trump has requested that industries bring him proposals for tariffs in line with his America First stance. And today, the U.S. International Trade Commission delivers its recommendations to tax imported solar panels. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
In April, Suniva and SolarWorld complained to the U.S. International Trade Commission that China and other Asian countries have flooded the U.S. market with cheap solar gear, undercutting domestic makers like them. The ITC is asking for a tariff of up to 35%, which President Trump will likely approve. Timothy Fox is with Clearview Energy Partners.
If a tariff largely precluded solar imports, solar deployment in the future would diminish.
Much more expensive panels would mean fewer homeowners and businesses installing them. But the case fits with the Trump administration's approach to trade, that taxing imports can bring factory jobs back to America. Lee Brandstetter teaches economics at Carnegie Mellon University. He says that thinking about jobs doesn't match the reality of the solar industry.
Because this is a semiconductor product that's assembled on a highly capital-intensive assembly line that uses very little human labor.
He says tariffs are often imposed to protect manufacturers, but risk overlooking wider economic consequences. In this case, solar installers, utilities, the energy industry overall. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
In the Bordeaux region of southwest France are pioneering the use of traffic drones. French police have issued hundreds of fines since they started the program this summer. John Lawrenson brings us this report.
A drone climbs into the sky to fix its glass eye on the busy Bordeaux beltway. On the ground, police captain Pascal Jansou scrutinizes the images it's sending down to the monitor. We're in a quiet road that's next to the highway, but hidden from it by trees.
The drone is very useful because we can see dangerous drivers on the road without being seen by them.
Today, they're going after truckers.
Dangerous behaviours like unrespecting distances of security or forbidden overtaking.
Illegal passing. He doesn't have to wait long.
Remorque blanche.
White truck, red and black letters on the side. Illegal passing, he says into his walkie-talkie.
Dépassement interdit.
Motorcycle cops waiting down the road from the drone zone receive the description and move to intercept.
This kind of operation today, we can stop from 15 to 20 trucks in an hour.
Government officials in charge of road safety say punitive measures are needed to change driver behaviour. Drivers, on the other hand, can be expected to grumble. Speed cameras already earn the French government $750 million a year in fines. In comparison, in the UK, which has roughly the same population as France, speed cameras bring a lot less into government coffers. For Pierre Chasseret of the lobby group 40 Million Drivers, using drones against drivers is an unwelcome escalation.
It's amazing how inventive we are in France when it comes to finding new forms of repression. Just think, instead of encouraging drivers to keep their eyes on the road, we now have to look at the side of the road for speed cameras and now in the air for drones.
The government, in any case, likes the look of the Bordeaux drone experiment. It said it was looking to expand drone surveillance operations to other parts of the country. In Bordeaux, France, this is John Lawrenson for Marketplace.
And there's news today. Japanese technology conglomerates SoftBank and Uber have reached a deal. The Associated Press reports SoftBank will buy about $1 billion worth of new Uber stock, then tack on more shares it buys from investors and employees to eventually own about 14% of the company. I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.